I don't believe you feel the pinch of homeownership until you pay the home off and then you retire. And then your income might be stable. However, the older the home is, the more work it's going to need. And if someone is not there to help you maintain that home, one, then those costs creep in with no new money coming in. And of course, inflation eats up every single dollar. People do not do what investors do when they buy a home. Investors look at the discounted cash flow. How much do I expect to get in the future? And we're talking 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years, 70 years, and discount that back to today. That's called discounted cash flows, because money today is worth more than money tomorrow. When you buy a home with today's dollars, your dollars do not have the same value in the future. And no one tells anybody that when they buy a home and they say a home is an asset. It is, only because you're able to borrow and use it as collateral for loans. HELOC, which is why they have HELOC loans, which is why they have, you can refinance. It's a ATM machine for Americans. Very few Americans, and I'm only speaking off, I'm not doing statistics, but generally speaking, Americans don't pay off their homes and then not refinance, because there might be an emergency, they might want to pay down debts, they might want to use money for tuitions, healthcare issues, medical issues, and if they have children, then it's a lot. And that's not counted on. It's an ATM machine, because very few people just leave their homes alone and just let the equity build up. Then if they do decide to sell and they've made the renovations on credit, they've may or may not have replaced the HVAC or the water heater or whatever it is, or might not have done any real renovations except for in the bathroom and the kitchen, but the roof needs to be done, and maybe the insulation might need to be upgraded. So, you know, it needs to be refreshed or whatever outside of a coat of paint. But in the future, and your kids are grown, well, your kids are coming back home. So when kids come back home, the cost of maintaining a home go up, especially if they're not contributing to help pay for that maintenance of the home. The grass still needs to be cut, a lawnmower needs to be bought. You want to fence the yard costs, the fence costs. You have to pay either somebody to put the fence up or you're going to put the fence up. Like, there's all these hidden costs that is not taken into an account when somebody buys a home at first, because they're not thinking about the future, they're thinking about right now. The future is someone told them they have an asset. But like I said, until the home is paid off, it's a liability. When the home is paid off, it can turn into a liability, because if someone retires, or they have a certain amount of income and they lose their job, it's when the income stops that it becomes a liability, that it's recognized as a liability. And Georgia is fortunate to have a lot of programs. Georgia and California have a lot of programs that help people stay in their homes, which is great. But again, if the home is bought on three times the income, and maybe one income left, maybe you went through a divorce, or maybe someone, their spouse, you know, passed, or they had medical, whatever the case may be, Now that home becomes a burden. And now it's trying to figure out how to hang on to this burden that at one, and everyone's not like that. So I'm only looking at a certain percentage, but when there's the argument to buy a home versus renting an apartment, rents go up, yes, but we are conditioned, because I'm an apartment dweller, we are conditioned to know that inflation sets in and our pay may not go up necessarily, but we know that the rents will go up. So we're not surprised. And you know what we could do? We could move. There's always some kind of special going on in the apartment community to attract new buyers. So if we decide we don't want to pay the rent, we can move. We're not stuck. And today, no one wants to be stuck anymore. I did a short yesterday where I said, I live in an apartment and I have two pools, an outdoor gym, an enclosed gym, tennis courts, pickleball court, a social room, a conference room, and they handle everything for me, my maintenance staff, because they work for me, they're my staff. The leasing office works for me, they're my staff, in my mind. I don't have to fix, my fireplace needs to be repaired. I don't have to repair it. They come and do inspections for me to make sure that my fireplace is done, is okay, to make sure my dry vents are okay. They replace my water heater. My rent didn't get raised. My rent wasn't raised because I had to pay for the water heater. That's their cost. That's not my cost. So my rent might have went up. I think it probably went up maybe $200. I work part-time, but my base payment is still the same. Don't ask me how. It just is. My point is I don't have the maintenance cost. I didn't have to replace the water heater. That could run me from anywhere from $400 to $800-$900. I don't have to make sure my dry vents are okay. I don't have to make sure my fireplace is safe. Most people don't have their fireplaces checked. I know the landlord that I lived with, he didn't do any of this work. He didn't check my fireplace. He didn't care if there was smoke alarms. He did nothing as a private landlord to ensure my safety. And I was there for 10 years. I think I paid like $750 and then $650 a month for 10 years, but he did nothing. He did nothing. He might have redid the kitchen and it was a shoddy job, but he didn't do anything. He didn't, no inspections, no maintenance. No, I did it all. I was a very good tenant, but moving into my apartment, I'm paying double, almost 60% more. And I wanted something that I took those costs away from me having to maintain where I live. And when you get older, it's harder to get things done, particularly when you're living on a fixed income. And I don't think people recognize the housing market, the mortgage lenders, the banks, they all know that people are gonna get old. And at some point, houses are either going to go through foreclosure, they're going to get abandoned, or they're going to be transferred to another party, whether it's a family member or they're going to sell it. And then there is the issue of selling. Today, the environment for buying a house is, particularly where I live, is I think the average home price is $600,000. Most people are not making that. There are people who are coming from out of the state who are making that. They're also building new homes around the corner. I think they're starting at $400,000. So there's always going to be someone who, through double income or a single income, that can afford it. But can they really afford it? Because they're going to be townhomes. And again, with HOA fees, and then we're not even going to start talking about property taxes, that I remember my grandmother used to say, this home she paid for, and she paid, this is how I know, she paid a home off. She was a nurse. And when she was a nurse, before she went to school, first she was working at the hospital, and when she was working at the hospital, she bought her home when she was working because she believed in home ownership. And then she got her 2 degrees so she could become a registered nurse. She graduated from Malloy College. How do I know? I was at the graduation. My grandmother went to college and she got her 2 degrees because we went through 2 graduations. And she paid off her home. And she, all I heard her say, the property taxes were killing her because she's living on a fixed income. She's a nurse. My grandfather worked at a car wash. He came home and gave her his whole check and she kept the bills going. But she recognized that she didn't have credit. She told me she had the credit cards. Nia, don't get those credit cards. I had them. I paid them all off and I'm done with them. That's how she said it. When I came home with my first credit card, she's like, what do you need that for? Do not fall into the trap, I'm telling you. I can hold your card for you. Sure. She held my card for me. Until it's time for me to go to college, I have to get stuff for school. She goes, you don't want to run up the bill because you don't have a job yet. Yeah, we'll deal with that later. And she was right. Right? And she used to always complain the property taxes were $5,000 a year. And she's like, the property taxes on this bitch is killing me. And eventually she passed. And the house was eventually went into, the equity was pulled out of the house. And she and the house wound up going into foreclosure. Because all the equity was already, once the equity is pulled out, the house is really kind of useless. So banks don't want that, you know, banks don't want your house back. So the value is when the equity builds up in the home, especially if it's paid off. And we were talking like $385,000 that all of that was pulled out. And then the house went into foreclosure. So when I look at homes, and I've watched everybody lose their home, that's another thing. Now, that's why I rent. I've watched people who work their whole lives, and I mean work their whole lives, and still lost their homes. Or the home is constantly in and out of foreclosure. Or there's, you know, always a challenge with trying to maintain the home. I see people who have homes, but they can't maintain the homes. And they have to use credit to maintain the home. They have to use credit to maintain cars. And I'm like, that's a wild thing to me. And I did it with my car, using credit to maintain my car. Like, it should, we shouldn't, we have a choice. And I was going to say we shouldn't have to live like that. But I'm going to say that it's a choice to live that debt-laden lifestyle. And that's how I understand the economy works. I'm not against it. I'm just saying that, to wrap this up, is just be smart and think about the long-term consequences of following what seems to be the norm. Right? Well, following what seems to be the norm and watching what other people do and see the material things. What you can't see, which is what financial management really is all about, is what you can't see. If the credit cards are paid off, that's different. There's cash available to do that. People don't want to pay off the credit cards, but they want to see the money in the 401k. Not understand that the credit card balances are eating up their money, the future money, and that future money is already, it's inflated. Due to inflation, that money's not worth the same. So, and the interest charges are piling up, accumulating. So just pull the money out the 401k, pay off the cards, and then don't run the cards back up where it's not manageable, right? Pull money out the savings and pay off the cards or pay down the cards. And people say, well, that's not a very good use of cash. You're supposed to use other people's money. The cash is used to save you so that your cash has better uses in the future. And that's where that discounted cash flow has come in. Looking at what you want to invest in the future and figure out a timeline, what interest rate you want, and then work backwards to see how much do you need to put away each month, or how much do you need to be able to have in the future so that that money doesn't lose its value so much in the future. Because again, money today is worth more than money tomorrow. So when to settle the argument between apartment living and home ownership, I'll still take apartment living. From apartment, I might stay in this one because it's a one bedroom, it's big enough for me. It's a nice, generous, I don't care if they make this bitch go to $2,500. I will pay the $2,500. It won't, but it could, right? Because it's a generous apartment. I chose well, right? I go up one flight. I chose well. I'm on the top floor. There's only three floors. And it has everything that it needs to have for me to entertain at home. I have two pools. I have an outdoor gym, an indoor gym, tennis courts, a clubhouse, a conference room. It has everything I needed, and I'm already 58. Why would I move someplace else? Why would I want to buy a home at this point? Then I have to do all the maintenance myself. I'm older. My kids are gone. My kids can't come back home. They all live on their own. When it comes to living with family, if there's an agreement and everybody understands how to maintain the property and that these costs come up, who's going to pay for it? And if they're kids, they may or may not pay for it for you. And if you're thinking about moving in with your kids, they may not want you. Now, who's going to take care of the house? Right? So I like the apartment living. From an apartment living, if I wanted to upgrade, I'd move to a hotel. And a very nice one on top of that, where they take care of everything. One big suite with a nice big dining room and, you know, a nice, you know, the elevator opens up so that I walk right into my living room and I have this nice suite over, like I like the St. Regis residences. I'm always looking at them. It's a little high up, but I'd rather own the condo where it's high in the sky and it's huge. And I have that they got the outdoor fireplaces and, you know, everything is contained. I can go downstairs right to the restaurant. I don't have to cook. Like, there are trade-offs. Instead of me spending $400 on a water heater, I can spend $400 and walk downstairs and get me a nice meal at the restaurant, or go hang out at the bar, or go wandering around Buckhead or whatever. I can travel if I want to. Like, I'm freeing up my money. And there's other ways to invest and still be able to pull money out of an investment just by living off the interest, right? So I think today I might include personal finance with Women's Wealth Institute because they're so closely aligned that you have to really rethink. Like I said, when you get older, you have to really rethink the lifestyle you want to live and to reduce the amount of liabilities that you have and try to figure out what's a generous monthly income where you're able to maintain your lifestyle and be debt-free. And debt-free just means you pay off your credit cards every month. You pay off your credit cards every 2 months. You might pay off your credit cards every 6 months. Or at the end of the year, you pay off your credit cards. You get your tax return, you pay off your credit cards, you start all over again. You're not strapped like that. Because I know, I recognize, everybody's not strapped like that. But you pay off your credit cards, right? And you have a few that you like, whether it's an Amex, whether it's a Chase Sapphire, prefer whatever. The thing about Amex we like is you have to pay that bill off every month. I think that's the best kind of card to have. And you get the privilege to hold it. But you can run that bill up to whatever limit they give you. But when it comes, the bill is due, you just pay it off. I think we'll see more of that, in my personal opinion. We will see more of that moving from your BNPLs, buy now, pay laters, your every month and then you get charged interest, to cars that will move more towards paying it off every month for those high income earners who are switching so that they're able to have better control over their finances. That's just my personal opinion. All right, that's it for now. This is the Business of Money podcast. I am your host, Nia. I did not introduce that at first, but I was just kind of rambling on, just sitting here thinking, and wanted to just kind of hop on. This is just an audio. There's not a video to it, but something to put in your ear and think about. How are you going to live in the next 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, and work backwards? And what does that look like? All right, catch you on the next one.